Welcome. Good to have you this morning. We're in our summer series, which is the You Asked For It. So you guys asked lots of great questions. And so we're opening up the scriptures all summer long, looking at those different questions and working through them this summer. That's what we're kind of working on. So this morning our questions, and there was two concerning the fruits of the Spirit. That's how this first person just said, I want to know about the fruits of the Spirit. I was like, okay, well, that's like wide open. And then I got a more focused one on one particular one. Here it is, okay? And I love when you started off with this one's tricky, okay? Like, sorry, Pastor, we're gonna test you now, okay? This one's tricky. Since we know that the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, so you already know where we're going today, okay? Galatians 5:22 and 23 are eternal. Can you explain the need for long suffering? You will also find it as patience. And most people know that's one thing you never pray for. Everybody just jokes about that. You never pray for patience, long suffering. In God's kingdom, where there will be no pain or suffering. So we have this long suffering, but we know there's no pain and suffering, according to the book of Revelation, when we get this picture of the dwelling place of God, which heaven is. And so this is great. So we're going to dive in. We're going to talk about this and work through it. And particularly, we'll stop on that one and maybe give it a little bit more attention than the others. So we're going to be in the book of Galatians. What I want to start with is I need you to understand the context of the book, because that's going to help you to understand why does it appear here? Why is Paul bringing it up? You'll see, you know, little faint mentions elsewhere, but why in this book? Why in this book is he talking about it and he's bringing it up, okay? Because this might be one of the earliest letters that Paul ever wrote, and it's written to a church that's struggling with legalism. Now, I'm going to define that as Paul does in the book of Galatians. So they're struggling in this church, and by the way, when I mean church, I mean Galatia is an area. It's a region. Okay, so just think if it was all of Warren County or all of Iowa, there would be different churches in that area, and this letter would have gone to all those different churches, but they were all dealing with the same thing, this idea of legalism. So what is legalism that Paul is going to refer to? It is Jesus plus something for salvation. Hey, that's great, you're following Jesus, that's great, he forgave your sins, but... Now, in Galatians, you know what the problem was? You got to be circumcised, right? Looked at all the guys, and you got to be circumcised because, and this is what infiltrated the early church, it's not just enough to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, to repent and follow him. You also got to be Jewish. You ought to follow all these things. Now, if you're Gentile, you're going, what? I got to do what? You want me to do what? I have to have this done and that done, and I got to follow all these rituals. I can't eat lobster. Are you serious? I love lobster, right? You can just see all these debates taking place in the church, okay? And that's what they brought in, okay? Because that's what Paul's dealing with. They brought in, oh, it's Jesus plus, you must be circumcised. You must be a Jew. Just think about it that way. You got to be a Jew. And this kind of stuff, okay, as Paul's going to define legalism, creeps in every time. Okay, there's all sorts of places where it's Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus plus something else. You must do this. You must do that. You must be baptized. Okay, you must speak in tongues. You must do this. You must do that. It's always Jesus plus something. I don't know if you're saved. You know, I don't know if you're saved. Where I would always go, if you ever encounter this, where somebody looks and says, "What? You're not this." This is not a part of your life. Let's say it's baptism. Oh, you've never been baptized. I don't know if you're going to make it into heaven, okay? Do you know what you do? I'm just going to help you out here because this is really simple. You just take them back, probably to John's gospel would be a good place, one of the other gospels, where Jesus is dealing with the thief on the cross, okay? Thief, criminal, some sort of, you know, he's some sort of criminal. And he looks to Jesus and he says, what? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus stops and says, wait a minute, you got to get baptized. What are we going to do? Okay, no. That's not what happens. He says, what? Today you will be with me in paradise. Today. You have to take people there sometimes to say, so what does Jesus say? Jesus says, trust in me, depend on me. I am the source of salvation. I am your source. I am the one that's going to forgive you. That's why I died. I died for your sins and rose again for your salvation. Don't add anything to it. But that's what was going on in this area called Galatia that he writes to the people there called Galatians and wants them to understand some truth. So right before this section where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he reminds them, either we're going to live by the Spirit or we're going to live by the flesh, but there is no neutral. Just so you understand that, there's no neutral. There is no neutral. Either we are going to depend upon the Spirit to give us life and to bear fruit that we're going to see, or we're just going to live like we want. And so, in fact, in this section, he says the works of the flesh are, and he just starts listing off all sorts of different things. And then contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit. So you need to understand that up front. This is either we live by the flesh, we just do whatever we want. Oh, you know, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. It's okay. I can just do whatever I want now. No, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. We follow Jesus. We have surrendered our life to him. He is our Lord. And so we follow him now. And we do the things that he asks us to do. And I'm telling you, some of those are not easy. They're not easy. But that's what he invites us to do. No, follow me. And so we either live our lives then in the flesh, just doing whatever I want, whatever I desire, whatever thing comes up, or I choose to live by the Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit. I choose to live by the Spirit. But it's one or the other, and there is no neutral. There is no neutral. You make a choice every single day in what you do. You make a choice every single day. To either I'm just going to live out by the flesh, doing whatever I want to do, or I'm going to dare to stop and say, Holy Spirit, help me. So you're going to see that this morning. So this is this battle that we deal with. What are we going to do? Where are we going to surrender our lives? What are we going to give ourselves to every single day? So that brings us up to this passage, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So it's that patience that shows up as long-suffering in some of your translations. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So a couple things I want to do before I dive into trying to help us all understand this list that Paul is giving that about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? So before we talk about that, just three things I want to kind of remind you of. First one is this. Fruit is singular. I was talking to a pastor friend this week, and I said, have you ever caught that? So early on, you can read this. It says the works, plural, of the flesh are, and it gives you all sorts of things. And then it gets to the fruit of the Spirit, and it says fruit, singular. And it's very clear in language. It is singular. Do you know what that means? This idea of oneness that we talked about last week. We get all of the spirits. So it's going to be tempting when we get to some of the fruit of the Spirit this morning and be like, that's not me. That's not me. I guess the Spirit didn't give me that, okay? And that's just our blanket excuse. Well, I didn't get that one, so I guess I'm out. So that's just never going to happen. No, we get it all. We get it all. The works, plural, the flesh are different because they show up in different ways in our lives. So we got this over here and this over here, and I struggle with different sin that you struggle with, or that your neighbor struggles with, your spouse struggles with, right? We're all going to struggle with different sins, these works of the flesh. But when it comes to the fruit, it is singular for a reason. You are given all of the spirits. You are given all of it. God is not holding out on you. God didn't look and say, well, I'm going to make you earn this peace, okay? We're going to get the peace. Oh, I'm going to make you earn that. I don't. Right? And it's hard. Why don't I have that? Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I need you to understand it is singular. Jesus has given you everything of his Spirit. Everything. Everything. He did not hold back on you. What is one of the lies? Because that's a multifaceted lie that's told in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. What is it? Hey, Eve, I think God's holding out on you. See that fruit over there? It's awesome. And God's telling you, no, I think he's holding out on you. It's one of the lies. It's one of the lies that we're told, oh, I think God's holding out on you. You're going to look at this list and go, well, and I get that, okay? And that's going to be the lie. Oh, maybe you're not filled with the Spirit. Maybe you're not. It's going to be a lie. I want you to know you have all of it. all of it. It's this idea of oneness. We are given everything of the Spirit. Number two, we must, this is really important, surrender and submit ourselves to do life by the Spirit. Oh, those are two words we don't like. Come on, we just be honest. We don't like those words. But I got to surrender my life. I've got to submit to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to help me live my life. The Holy Spirit's going to go to work with me and help me at work. The Holy Spirit's going to get in the car with me and help me drive, right? The Holy Spirit's going to go to all these different places with me and help me to live by the Spirit as long as I surrender and submit. The Holy Spirit is not there to say, oh, you better do it. Come on, you better do it. Maybe you're not saying, it is up to us to submit ourselves and surrender. I would encourage you, you have to do that every morning. Every single morning, you better do that. Or that's where we make this choice, right? Flesh or spirit. And if we're not surrendering and submitting ourselves to do it the way the Holy Spirit is asking us to, then we're probably living out this flesh thing and causing all sorts of problems and wreaking all sorts of havoc in all sorts of areas of our life. This requires surrender and submission of our life to do life by the Spirit. Number three, don't forget John 15. Remember, we studied that earlier this year. We bear fruit because we are connected to Jesus. John 15, beautiful. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you bear nothing. Nothing. Oh, gosh. Well, maybe that's why there is none. I am not connected with Jesus. I am not connected to him. I'm not reading his word. I don't know what he wants me to do. So I don't have this connectedness to him, because that connectedness is where we're going to bear fruit, where we're going to see this stuff being lived out in our life. Because Jesus has promised, I'm going to help you be connected to me. My Spirit's going to bear this fruit in your life, but be connected to me. And we all understand this connectedness and disconnectedness, but we have different ways of saying it. You know, God just feels distant lately. Oh, there's a good sign. If you're thinking that, that's a great sign you're probably disconnected. And I'm just going to give you a hint. God didn't move. Okay. Probably somewhere along the line, you took a step. And all of a sudden now you're feeling that disconnection. You're feeling that disconnection. You are sensing that in your life. You might have said it a different way. You might think about it a different way, but that's what's going on. You are experiencing that disconnection with Jesus, and thus you're missing out on that fruit coming forth in your life. Okay, so here we go. We're going to dive into these and touch on them a bit here. The fruit of the Spirit is, the first one is love. You will find it, the word agape, but the Hebrew word is chesed. It is a love that never stops loving. It is defined better in 1 Corinthians 13. That's where we get a much better definition. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You have to get that so you understand what love is, what God says love is, what his love is, and that's the love he wants to see come out of our lives. That's why he starts there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How is that going in our lives? Is that the fruit being produced in our lives? Because God is the source of it. So in John's a great one to read, because John goes back, defines love. He says, do you understand, beloved, we are loved of God, right? Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The person that does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then he goes right on after that, say, oh, by the way, just so there's no confusion, don't love the world. Don't love the world, right? But he tells us, wait a minute, there's some things you're going to choose not to love, not to embrace, not to run after them. And so he invites us into having that fruit that is love. And the only way you can show that love is to have that love. You cannot give what you have not received. So that's the first one, love. The second one, joy. The awareness of God's grace and favor. The awareness of God's grace and favor. That is what Philippians is all about. Paul's sitting in prison, but he is aware of God's grace and God's favor. So he writes about rejoice in the Lord. You might read that and go, he's where? He's in prison? Yeah. Yeah, you should see that sometime. I'll show it to you. He's in a dungeon. Okay, it is not a fun place to be. Okay, that's where he is, and yet he's talking about rejoicing in the Lord and having this joy because he's aware of all that God has been doing and working in his life. He's aware of God's grace and favor. Isn't it interesting that David talked about joy in the morning? That somehow with every day, we get a fresh dose of, are we aware of God's grace and favor in our lives? Are we aware of that every single day? Because that's where that joy is going to come from. God's grace and God's favor that's at work in and through our lives. The third one, peace. Peace. Or I love the Old Testament word, the word shalom. Because shalom is God's gift of wholeness, right? It has nothing to do with, everything is quiet in our house. Okay. Everything is calm. No, because it's the idea of shalom. It's this idea of I am whole. I am whole in spite of what's going on. I am in whole in spite of what's happening in my life. I have God's peace. The opposite of this, by the way, is chaos. Chaos. So wherever we see chaos is a place where there isn't God's wholeness at work. That's where chaos lives. So it's interesting. If you read Jeremiah, right, they're going off into exile. I can't imagine anybody is thrilled with that. Anybody's like, oh, this is a great day. We're getting taken from Israel over to Babylon. None of them wanted to go. But do you know what Jeremiah told them from God? Hey, you're going to go there. You're going to build homes. You're going to settle there. And then he says something very interesting that we kind of miss, where it says, pray for the peace of the city. It's all the word shalom. Pray for the shalom of the city. Because Babylon's probably chaos because it's not following the one true God. So you're going to pray for that peace because as the city goes, understanding and finding the wholeness that God gives, guess what's going to happen in your life? You're going to experience more of this gift of wholeness that God would love to bring in our life. That's the idea of peace and shalom. Okay, now we're to our one. Patience or long suffering. I thought this one was really interesting. Really interesting, which, you know, that just puts it right with the question. Now, right, isn't the big joke we never pay for pray for patience because we don't want that. And we look at scenes like Job and how did Job make it. And I think we have this wrong idea of patience as Scripture talks about it. Yes, Scripture gives us plenty of places where it tells us we need to wait on the Lord, that God's timing is perfect. Okay? And that's, I think, what we get confused here. We take that idea of, well, I don't want to pray for patience because that means I'm going to have to wait on everything. And that has nothing to do with the word. That has zero to do with the word. The word is two words put together. And here's what it means. Long passion. Like, what? Where'd that come from? How do we get patience? I don't know, okay? But we translated this patience or long suffering. Long passion or passion under control. If you backed up a couple verses where he's talking about the works of the flesh, he takes the second word, the second part of the word that here is used for patience, and he talks about it as rage. Okay? The works of the flesh are rage because it's half the word. The other part of the word is this idea of long or controlled. And we all understand this. Every single person here probably understands this idea of passion under control because we've used that term, passion, to excuse things at times. Come on. We've used it to excuse things. So when I was about 10, I'm hoping I get the year right, all you Royals fans in the room, one of my favorite memories of watching baseball growing up was the Pine Tar home run and watching George Brett look like he got shot out of a missile coming out of that dugout. Scream, he's like holding them back. He's going after them, okay? And you would look at that scene and go, wow, Man, he was passionate that he got the, yeah, you know, that wasn't under control very well, okay? But it was a great scene. I love that. I will watch that again because that's just an awesome scene to watch. That is a great example. There are all sorts of examples that we use the word passion where it's out of control. It's like, wow, they were just passionate. They were just passionate. Man, yes. And it was passion that wasn't under control. So it got out of control, and then all of a sudden relationships got ruined, and things happened, and things words were said that never should be said, all sorts of things. Because the passion wasn't under control. We've also used this to say to people, right? Oh, they're on fire for God. What happens? All of a sudden they're not on fire for God anymore. What happened? Well, that wasn't very long passion, was it? That was passion that was really short-lived, short kind of passion. Do you understand that? This is what God wants us to have in our life, a passion that is long, that is continual, that is under control to things, that there are things to stand up for. There are things to say, nope, but to do that under control, and you're going to see that theme all over and over and over again. Some of the things that God says, you need to get that under control. Under control, the Spirit's going to help you control that. So I want you to think of that difference. Patience is not what you need because you're sitting at a red light going, I'm going to be late. Okay? That's not what you need. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having that passion that is long, that is continuous, that is under control. A passion for your family, a passion for your marriage, a passion for your church, a passion for the things of God, but a passion that is under control and is long. It is continual. It has a lasting impact. Might be the perfect thing to talk about after a week of camp, when everybody's all excited, and I'm going to light the world, and God is awesome, and how long is that going to continue? That's the question. How long will that continue in your life? Until 3 months later, you're like, yeah, I want nothing to do with God. I haven't opened my Bible in weeks. Well, that wasn't very long passion, wasn't it? That wasn't very long change. It wasn't depending on the Spirit that all that work that was done in my life that week should continue on and on and on, an idea of long passion. Kindness. Doesn't mean letting people just run all over you. It means meeting real needs in God's way. Meeting real needs in God's way. So that's why when we're encouraged to show kindness, we are helping to meet real needs in God's way. That doesn't mean, oh, we gotta find every homeless person in town and move them into our house. No, it doesn't mean that. How do we meet that need? How do we see those things happen? Sometimes we get out of control thinking, wow, these problems are so big. How do I do it all? I need to meet those needs in a real way, in God's way. How am I doing that? How am I doing it? That's how we show kindness. Goodness comes from God and shows itself in excellence. So when we do things well, that comes from God. We want to do things well because it's all for His honor and glory. And that's how it shows itself, this idea of goodness, faithfulness. Do you know faithfulness is always received from God? It is never generated by us. Man, I got to be more faithful. That's not it here. It's a fruit. It is the Holy Spirit living in us, dwelling in us. We've submitted and surrendered our life. And it's like, I need to be faithful. Guess what? Always received from God, never generated by us. You know, you don't have to wake up tomorrow. I've got to be more faithful. How do I work on that? How do I submit and surrender to the Spirit who's going to help me be faithful and receive that? Gentleness. Gentleness is power under control. Probably just not a definition. You might find it in your translation as meekness. It's the same thing. When it tells us that Jesus was meek, it does not mean he was weak. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything, okay? It was actually the opposite. It is power under control. Remember, God with us. God with us. That he had all those resources to do anything, except it was what? It was power under control. That means I'm going to stay on the cross and die for your sins and rise again for your salvation when he could have called 10,000 angels. Nope. When he was challenged by all the religious leaders, oh, just come off the cross, save yourself. And to save himself, he wouldn't save us. That is power under control. That is amazing to watch. if the Spirit would give us that, man, that would just show itself in all sorts of incredible ways in our life. Self-control. Self-control is another confusing one, okay? It really means dominion within, and this is really important. What does it mean from dominion within? Within you, but not from you. It's within. It is within. You are not chained to God the moment, right? You are, it is within. It is the Holy Spirit within helping us with dominion. Self-control, my only problem with that word is the word self. Well, that means I got to do this. I got to do, well, if I could do this, it would look a lot different in my life, wouldn't it? I can't do it. Therefore, I need the Spirit to do it and bring dominion within me. So I have a source of that where it will be under control, where my life will be under control, where there'll be dominion so I do the things that I need to do. Romans chapter 7, this struggle between life in the flesh and life in the Spirit. Life by the Spirit is the last thing I want you to remember, is the only real life. That's the invitation. The invitation is to real life that can take place, and this fruit that can come out of our life by being surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit. Now, would you imagine with me something? The impact if we would live this way. Gosh, some of you saw that list and like, man, I need lots of that in my workplace, and you're supposed to bring it in every day. Man, we need more of that. Man, we need more of that in our churches. We need more of that. Yes, every place we go, we're supposed to be bringing that as a submitted and surrendered person to the marriage would look like if that showed up in it. What that would look like in your family. What that would look like in your relationships. It would be amazing. There's not a single person here to be like, I don't think we need that stuff. No, you know exactly where it's needed. And what if today we just submitted ourselves and surrendered ourselves to the Holy Spirit and just allowed Him to produce that fruit in our life as we submit and surrender to Him. So that's what I'd like us to do this morning. You bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to do just that. If you want to see that in your life, it isn't you try harder, it is you surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit. It means that Jesus is Lord, and I give myself to Him. So, Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would clear up maybe what has been unclear before. This is not just several fruit, and I guess we didn't get some. No, this is all by your Spirit as we submit and surrender to your Holy Spirit. May we do that. Maybe we see that the problem is, I am not submitted and surrendered. We probably got up this morning, oh, it's church day, and we never stopped and submitted and surrendered our life. And the problem is, there is no neutral. We either live by the Spirit, or we live by the flesh. I pray you'd make it very real to us where we are at, what we are doing, that we would live it out, this life that only you can give, this fruit only you can produce, Jesus, as we are connected to you. Jesus, do what only you can as we submit and surrender our lives daily. Holy Spirit, produce this fruit in our lives. it will change everything. It is always for our good and for your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.